Welcome into another episode of Live from Studio F. I'm Brian Moline. Glad you're with us today. And we've got several performers with us from the U of I Lyric Theater. Their next production is Monteverdi's Poppea. It'll be opening November 10th at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And I understand we're going to be starting off with a duet here. So, gentlemen, take it away.
Cantiam, Lucano.
Cantiam.
Cantiam, Lucano, amorose canzoni, in modo da me visto che di sua mano amore.
Cantiam, signore.
Cantiam.
Motique di sorridente
ridente.
Che spira glorie, glorie.
Che
spira glorie,
glorie.
Che spira glorie,
cantiam
di quel viso beato, beato, in cui l'idea d'amor se stessa pose.
Che
seppe sulle nevi con nova meraviglia impar. Seppe sulle nevi con nova meraviglia animar incanar la granadina.
Nettare
divino. estasi d'amor deliziando e ti piovan gli occhi stille di tenerezza lacrime di dolcezza.
Very nice. Very nice. Very lovely duet. If I could just have the two of you just introduce yourselves and which characters you're portraying in Poppaea.
My name is William Duke, and I'm portraying the character of Lucano, confidant to the Emperor Nerone.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Yi Chen Li, and I will be performing Nerone, the Emperor of Rome.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm a little rusty in my Italian, so William, if you could just tell me, what did we just hear there in that duet?
Without, you know, spoiling too much for the unseasoned opera goer, I'd have to explain that we are drinking in celebration of the death of his former mentor that you'll just have to see in the opera, of course, November 10th. But also thinking about his love for the title character, Poppaea.
You know, if you could just tell me a little bit about your character in general, just maybe a little motivation behind the character. Just go a little bit from there, just into the microphone if you could.
Okay, and I believe my role, Nero, he is such a crazy guy because he just want to grab his friend's wife and to be my wife and divorce my real wife, my empress, Octavia. So in this aria or this opera, I think I have two personalities. Mm-hmm. The first one is when I meet with my mentor, Seneca, or my soldiers, it seems very aggressive. But when I meet my lover, Poppaea, I'm such a very gentle, very soft, or tender guy. So in my voice, I'm countertenor, so it's a big challenge for me to do two different personalities, mm-hmm. because it have a big constructs between each other. So I hope I can try my best to engage everyone for the opera. And also I want to reminder that in this opera we will have a double cast, and I'm the countertenor Nerone, and another guy called Nate Bartram, he will be performing the Nero in the tenor voice. I hope you guys can come for both of us.
Yeah, it certainly would be a different performance each time.
Yes, I think it's quite different experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Yichen, I know I've talked with you before in one of these performance settings. If you could just tell us how long you've been here at the University of Illinois, and mm-hmm. And where you're at in your studies.
I've been at University of Illinois this is my second year. I'm doing my DMA degree in vocal performance. This is my second time performing with the Lyric Theater at Illinois. So every colleagues here are hardworking, they're talented, and like our Professor Tilly and our director Maddy said, it's very easy to go to do our stuff with them. So I already expect for our official show in next weekend.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. And William, how about you? I think it's the first time we've had you in our studios here for one of these performances, but just tell us about your studies here at Illinois.
Well, this is my second year as a master's student focusing in vocal performance. Originally from Nashville, it's nice to be somewhere so different and rooting on the Cubs up here, which is really great. I just wanted to toss that in there. But my time here has been really great. Great chance to grow, a great environment to really try some new things. As far as lyric theater, this is my first time in a lyric theater production of a full stage opera, and it's just been such a pleasure to work with, you know, such great and talented musicians and artistic, you know, minds. And you know, these people also push you to grow, and it's a really great opportunity.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you both for coming out today, and best of luck with the show next week. We'll I guess we'll kind of swap out here, and whoever's next can step up to the microphones.
Disprezzata regina, 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 disprezzata, disprezzata regina, de monarca romano, afflitta, afflitta. Che fo? Ove son? Che penso? Che penso? Tutte le donne miserabili sesso, se la natura e cielo libera ci produce il matrimonio ci incatena sempre. Se concepiamo l'uomo, tutte le donne mi derrabi il sesso, al nostro empio tirà, formiam le membra, allattiamo il carnefice crudele che ci scarna e ci svena, e siam forzate per indegna sorte. Medesme parturì la morte. Nerone, Nerone, empio Nerone, marito, oddio, oddio, marito bestemmiato per sempre, maledetto dai cordoni.
Very nice. Very nice. Could you just introduce yourself to the audience here?
My name is Yoonju Shim. I'm third-year DMA student at U of I.
Yeah. How many productions have you done with the Lyric Theater?
Oh, this is my first production.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about the Empress, your character in this production.
She's an Empress of Rome Empire. She's a very regal and virtuous lady, but her husband, Nerone, is trying to crown Poppaea instead of me, and she's like threatened and tried to make plans to keep herself.
Okay. There's a little bit of intrigue there.
Yeah.
As you've been trying to develop this role for you, what's been the biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge is I feel like Ottavia is not a bad person, but you know, in opera, love wins everything. Feels like even Nero and Poppaea, their love is adultery. I feel like, you know, just I try to protect myself by threaten, you know, be killed or banish it. But seems like I'm a bad person in the opera, and it's a big challenge. I feel like I'm not bad. I want to say I'm not bad. Don't banish me. Don't kick me out. Yeah.
If you could, just talk about your time here at the University of Illinois, how you've been able to develop as a performer since you've been here.
First time I came here, I tried to think about my future as a performer or maybe teacher. And I met my professor Heyman here, and it's really great to work with her, because normally as a doctor student, we try to prepare ourselves as a teacher, you know, and, you know, for our future. But also I try to study with her and maybe develop myself as a, you know, performer. And, you know, U of I is really good to, you know, develop yourself as a performer or also as a, you know, professor or teacher in your future. And really good to have an opportunity to work with Lyric Theater. And it's a really good opportunity for me.
Yeah. Have you decided which path you want to pursue, or is it still an open question?
It's still open. Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. So I understand we have one more selection, another duet. So we can do a little quick sound check for that here.
See.
Lovely. I think that's, when I think of Italian opera, I think those harmonies right there are exactly what I think of. Wei Chen back at the microphone for that one, and Laura Semetko there as well. Laura, tell us a little bit about your character.
Well, Poppea is in love with Nero, but she also has an underlying current of this need to be empress. And through the horrible things of, you know, having an affair with Nero, and not to spoil the opera, but she gets what she wants, but she comes to a realization at the end that maybe having love just wasn't enough, and that things kind of turn a little sour for her.
Yeah, yeah. You've been with us before for one of these performances here at WILL. Laura, if you could just remind us where you're at in your studies right now.
I am my first year of my doctoral degree in jazz performance.
Oh, jazz performance. So wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. So how does a jazz performance major come to also be involved in an opera like Monteverdi's Poppea?
Well, Lyric Theatre has been extremely open, and they want not only music majors to audition, but non-majors. So I encourage anyone who's listening to come and try out for our next production, because we want you. But I did my master's degree in classical music, so I always have that love and passion. But I want to be a teacher who can teach any kind of voice, and so I still need to be highly involved in classical singing and pop singing and jazz.
Very good. And Wei Chen, in this particular duet, as I mentioned, some really lovely harmonies. What kind of things are you really listening for when you're trying to blend with Laura in this duet?
Personally, I think the Monteverdi, because it's very early Baroque music, I tried my best to keep my voice with less vibrato and very similar to the string to go smooth enough and go legato. And I think the most important thing for me in this duet is listen to my partner. It's mm-hmm. very necessary. I try to keep the balance sometimes keep the tempo, not rush to push so hard to my partner or make her feel nervous, or just yourself, I'll follow you. Because this is what I do in my character has to do. I do everything, divorce, kill someone, torture, and just for my lover. She is a empress of Rome. So I hope I could do everything for her also in this duet.
Yeah, and Laura, are you kind of feeling that, is that the vibe you're getting from Wei Chen throughout this duet?
Oh, totally. He's such an amazing partner to sing with, and it's just, you feel this connection when you sing with another person, and specifically with Wei Chen, it's a beautiful experience to create these two characters and sing in harmony, because they end on the same note in unison. Love.
Yeah, very happy ending. Everyone expects for the ending. Oh, you're married, totally.
Very nice. Well, wonderful job from all the performers here today. We're going to hear from the directors in just a minute. I think we'll step over to another studio to record that portion. But Yichen and Laura, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got several of the directors for this production of Poppea, written by Monteverdi, of course, back in around 1650. So a very interesting era for Italian opera here. Nathan Gunn, Julie Gunn are both with us. Nathan's first time we've had you in the studio here for these Lyric Theater productions. Thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Julie, great to have you back.
Thank you, Brian.
We've also got Michael Tilley back with us, who did a lovely job playing the keyboard. Harpsichord-esque keyboard for us today. Great to have you back, Michael.
Thank you.
Nice to
be back.
And we've got Madeline Syatt, the director of this production. Madeline, great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure who to ask this question of, but how did you select this particular opera for Lyric Theater this time around?
I think I chose it, right? Yeah, I did. We've been trying to figure out with this particular program how to best represent the future and also the past. And the thing is, first of all, Poppea, it's the coronation of Poppea is what it's actually called. We call it Poppea because she's a drug, poppy, right? Mm-hmm. She's opium. That's what she is. And what we love about it is that Monteverdi, he's kind of supposed to have written it, but he might not have. Mm. It might have been his students. I saw the score the first time when I was in London. I went to the British Library, and they have everything there. And I was going to do Popea, and so I decided to take the score out. Now, what I realized was, one, he kind of wrote it, and he kind of didn't write it, and two, it's a lead sheet, meaning it's just chords. It's not actually an orchestration, so you can do whatever you want. And so what I thought was, this is a, you know, after I had done it, I thought, this is a play. It's a true story. It's pertinent to today, if you just think about the elections going on right now. Mm-hmm. And we can do what we want to do with it, even though it's 400 years old, you know? And so I thought, perfect. You know, we can actually translate it. That's part of what we've done is, you know, it's a difficult story. So it's obviously cut down a lot. But, you know, when they're not speaking about love, when they're not in love, they speak in English. When they are in love, they sing in Italian. I mean, we're able to play with it and do the things that we want to do with new pieces, but we get to do it with the first opera ever written. Well, one of the first operas ever written.
And thinking about it, we're thinking, well, what would these people be like to modern day audiences? You know, what's the truth that stays relevant? And around the time we were casting it, you heard Yishun Lee sing today, but the kids came in to sing for us, and four of them were countertenors. They sing high like that. And then that day, Prince died.
Yeah.
And we just started thinking, right? These are like rock stars to modern Americans, you know? So there's an aspect of that. We keep a lot of the Baroque sound, harpsichord and continuo, but we also have a little guitar in it, a little saxophone, all the sounds.
The sounds that make people, you know, relate. This is one of the things that I find not just important for the program, but also in my particular career. You need to relate today's audience, and that might be sometimes wearing the same clothes. Mm-hmm. It might be sometimes, you know, like you said, a countertenor is Prince. That's what it is.
The
Bee Gees. I mean, that's what it is. And you know, how do we make that make sense to everybody else while bringing them something that is brilliant enough to have lasted 400 years?
David Bowie.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
another good example.
Right?
Yeah, wonderful.
Roxanne! You know, Roxanne. I know, right?
Yeah,
I know.
Madeline, how did you come to be the director of this particular production?
Sure. Well, I received an email, originally a very, very vague email, having never heard of the opera at that point in time, and then started to research it and was surprisingly compelled by the plot structure, especially for its time period. Because when I first got the offer, I freelance as a director all over the place, but I'm also a PhD student in the UK in Shakespeare. And the plot structure, because it's from 1643, is very, very sort of advanced in terms of its amorality for the time. The prologue features a sort of staging of a bet between Cupid, Fortune, and Virtue over who has the most power. And from that point on, love does conquer all, but in a kind of icky
way.
Yeah, where you're like,
yeah,
oh,
love conquers all.
Crap, like that is not like good. That is a dangerous world.
Yeah.
Which is very, very, very relatable in terms of sort of very impulse, satisfaction-driven society and some of the negatives of that. So there were just, amazing, amazing connections throughout the opera that were really exciting for me because of the fact that it really, really dug deep into
related
all of the things we're
world.
Going through right now. Yeah,
your own life.
My own life. No, I only ever follow Virtue in all of my impulses.
She's perfect.
I'm perfect.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I guess what you decided to accept the offer and come over. Just talk about, you know, the process of casting something like this.
So design too, because
design is huge.
The designers, when they met Madeline, were very excited. So I kind of want to know, what did
crazy,
she say
awesome.
To them?
Oh,
talk about
so,
it.
Okay, so the exciting, So the way that I think about building a world, ooh, I have to stay in the mic. The way I think about building a world is really important. So I like to think about, so whenever you're sort of creating a new reality, there's a series of questions that run through my mind. And usually when I'm building a world, I'm thinking, okay, how do we create a possible future in which we make everything better? But because Papaya, you know, the ending in the title, you get to actually really dig into the question of, well, what's a future we don't want to live in? Which was really exciting working with the design team, because then we got to think about all of the dystopias and the Marvel universe and all of these different places that have that edge of a world we want to be better but just isn't yet. And so we really got to pull from all of our current cultural references in creating that world, because we actually do right now as a society, especially within sort of, you know, sci-fi and nerd culture, have a ton of dystopian references we can pull from in terms of how do we create a world that isn't this one, but means X, Y, and Z. And so throughout that process, we got to really ask deep questions about, okay, what is the power structure in this world? So what is the god's relationship to the political royalty, to the common people, and how does that like tier structure work down? And so a lot of that came into thinking about who are sort of the goddesses that don't care about the world. And that became, at one point it was sort of this idea of reality TV that then sort of simmered down into those three goddesses sort of operating like very wealthy teenagers with a ridiculous amount of control over the universe. So if they just made one swipe or another in terms of their social media interaction, it would destroy people's lives. What would that be? And so our goddesses are very young, and they are sort of this like next generation of gods that's coming up that you actually are a little bit terrified of in that way. So there's a lot of different push and pull happening between the different components of the universe that it's actually really hard to extract now that I look back on it, because there was so many different things that went into those building blocks.
Yeah. And then kind of once you had that, I guess, that vision of what it was going to look like, what it was going to be, what the world was going to be, then how do you try and kind of cast around that?
So really the casting happened without me here. Mm-hmm. So instead it actually ended up becoming a little bit of the reverse process of then like with who we have there. How do we merge?
Yeah, it's one of the difficulties with dealing with a university and mm-hmm. a school. You have to cast things sometimes without the director. We don't like to do that mm-hmm. exactly, but
sure.
depending on scheduling and such.
We talked about it. The goddesses are very young.
Which is great yeah. because it's like handing over. I'm sure it's like my parents going, can we really hand over the reins to our children? Because I don't think they know what to do. It's like that. Yeah.
Very interesting. You've got the cast, you've got this the design, and then Michael, how do you take the music that you have? This outline of music. How do you take that and kind of turn it into a full musical production here?
Yeah, well, we were involved in these conversations from the beginning, and I, for one, well, all of us very excited by this concept of devolution and dystopia and glam. There's this rock and roll element to them. So, as Nathan was saying, the score is just what we call a figured bass, which is a bass line with numbers under it indicating what the harmonies are. And then vocal lines on top of it. So it's a very improvisational art form. And what we did was just to build on that and say, well, if Monteverdi were alive today, what would he be using to create the sound world? Because, so we use different instruments to tell the psychological story that's happening. And, it'll switch from harpsichord to Baroque guitar and traditional, sort of authentically historically informed performances of Baroque opera. That's quite common. So all we did was to expand on that and say, especially with the element of the gods and who are they and what are their powers, and with that element being defined in a sort of technological way, as which, I think was Arthur C. Clarke said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So we chose to characterize the gods through the use of some subtle modern synthesized elements, so that there is this otherworldly quality to them in contrast to the human characters.
Which is interesting, because it might have been that way when he did it the first mm-hmm. time. It could have been that they used, maybe the harpsichord was brand new. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, well, who knows what...
Sounded edgy to them.
Yeah, it sounded edgy to them, right?
Music is new music for the first time.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, exactly. The first time you hear it, it's new music. So, yeah. But that's what you're doing.
And opera is always, this is, you know, not the first opera, but one of the first commercially produced operas. So between Monteverdi's Orfeo in 1607 and... L'Incoronazione di Pompeia, some 40 years later, you have the development all of a sudden of there are 20 public opera houses in Venice alone. And so this genre that had been created less than 50 years ago just exploded and yeah. went from a courtly entertainment that was aristocratically sponsored to something that people were paying money to see, and troops and professional performers started to become engaged in for the yeah. first time.
And who knows who was playing in the pit?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I mean, between all those 20 theaters, somebody was playing, and yeah. it could have been whoever was available, and they could have been playing whatever instrument.
Another remarkable thing about the score that you may have heard in these excerpts or may not is that it moves between singing and speech constantly and very quickly. So we have a talented student, Michael Bagby, who is cueing from the harpsichord, but there's no conductor per se, meaning a guy with hair and with the stick and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the students who are in this opera are acting like actors a yeah. lot more than the traditional opera singer. They decide how fast it goes, and actually we mentioned a little bit that obviously, the original text is in Italian, and probably two-thirds of this is going to be in English, depending on how lovey-dovey the characters are at the moment. And I spent a lot of time suggesting some English to them. But if they didn't like it, they are also free to change it.
Yeah, that's
so they control what they say and how they say it a lot. Quite a bit.
It was a really... That was, I mean, probably the most exciting part of the process for me in some ways was the fact that because they were opera singers who were all acting like actors, we got to really have really in-depth conversations about how they saw their characters and then driving from there so that each one of them, even when they're double-classed, they're still actually different versions of the same character,
right.
Which has really been really, really exciting because then not only do we have a sort of... honest naturalism naturalistic style of acting within an opera, but then because projections is such a huge part of the design, you're actually seeing sort of like a full world fleshed out in a really exciting mm-hmm. way that is character driven, which is really
incredibly
fun.
Important. That's what it's yeah. what's sort of fun about this is that you're taking one of the oldest operas ever written, and it's absolutely modern.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most. I mean, if you were to, I mean, write Pompeia today. I mean, there are a few chords that might sound archaic, but besides that,
yeah.
it's the singing, talking, acting thing that is in it that we're doing is the most. It is absolutely relevant and modern.
Yeah, and with these Lyric Theater productions, I know you double cast most of them, which is always interesting because you've got almost really two different productions going on. And when we were in the performing studio, each end is a countertenor, of course. And he mentioned his counterpart is a tenor,
a baritone.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, well, yeah, that's really completely different when
totally.
It comes to the music. So how do you maybe work differently with that character when it's a countertenor versus a baritone?
It's exciting because it actually does change the relationship between those two people, because it is a different vocal relationship. And so while the staging is and the sort of concept is relatively the same, you definitely, if you come see two nights, will see in a lot of ways a different show because their relationship is inevitably a little bit different in a way that I think is actually really exciting.
Yeah. Different aspects of Nero.
Yeah.
Both seem very true to me.
They're both very honest and just where his energy lives is a little bit different, which is kind of exciting.
Before we wrap things up here, I know last year everything I think was a Shakespeare theme in some way that you did with Lyric Theater. Of course, we've got this Monteverdi opera here this time. Is there kind of an overarching theme with this year's productions?
Yes, Italy.
Italy.
So next in the winter, there is going to be a big, full-throated, real opera, like yeah. real
gonna,
opera.
We're going to get like the not huge choruses and like all the
loud,
stuff we can't actually like the
notes.
Operas we can't do with our students. We're going to just do excerpts because you know they can do an excerpt and it's just full throated, super chorus,
oratorio like, society, the full
all the
orchestra
best stuff
on
you
stage.
Hear.
Probably
yeah.
100 and maybe at times like 180 people on stage.
Yeah.
Very
yeah,
excited
gonna
totally about that,
it's gonna be
and
great.
With a full ending, we end with the Verdi Requiem.
Yeah, I mean it's just nuts.
Big,
yeah, totally fun.
And then Light in the Piazza. Richard Rodgers had a grandson, Adam Gettle, yep. and he composed. I guess it's a piece of musical theater. It sounds kind of like an opera.
Light in the Piazza. Well, it's sort of.
But it's a beautiful work, Light in the Piazza.
Yeah.
In April.
Anyway, it's a great piece of music.
About a mother and daughter who go to Italy and. Find love,
yeah.
or something like
sort
that.
Sort of. yeah.
It's Italy, so it's complicated.
It's complicated. Yeah, yeah. It's complex.
See if we can get a scooter. A little bit like the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Oh, nice. Oh, we look forward to learning about those productions as we move on. But Poppea, Monteverdi, that will open on November 10th at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Julie Gunn, Nathan Gunn, thank you both for being here. Madeline Syett, Michael Tilley, wonderful to talk with you all today.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks a lot.
And thanks again to our performers today, Lara Smetko as Poppea, Yichen Li as Nerone, Yunji Shim as Ottavia, and William Duke as Lucano. Also, thanks to Tinya Chu on the cello and Michael Tilley on keyboard. The U of I Lyric Theater's production of Poppea opens Thursday, November 10th with four performances at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And thank you for joining us for this edition of Live from Studio F. I'm Brian Moline, host and producer. Jason Croft is our technical director. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for tuning in.